considering the sessions that are going at the same time, I'm really happy to see so many people here. That's pretty cool, pretty cool. If you're wondering what the candy is for, I am not handing out any candy. So if you're getting excited about that, no. You're not getting my candy. We're going to use this candy later. I was going to play the theme tune of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, one of my favorite movies. But then I noticed somebody has a session at the same time with that title, so it feels kind of unfair. But that's why I'm wearing cowboy boots. Considering how tall this thing is, I probably should wear a little bit more heels. But you can see me, right? Not just the top of my head and a little voice coming from behind. So I'm going to be talking about Windows Store applications here, and just so I can adjust the session a little bit according to the people here, I would like to see a show of hands. How many people have done any Windows Store app development here? Raise of hands. Okay, that was better than the last session. We had like, I don't know, 10 people out of 1,000 or something. How many here has done them in JavaScript? Okay, a couple. And how many in XAML and C#? And what are the rest doing? I'm just joking. Cool. I was usually, when you do a presentation, you start off by introducing yourself. But somebody taught me that what people remember the best is the first thing you say in a presentation. And I don't think that is the most important thing to know who I am. Therefore, I'd like to start with what I think is the coolest thing. I know you just came back from lunch. People have eaten and maybe getting a little bit tired. In Swedish, we call this matkoma. It's pretty much when you fall asleep after you've eaten a good large meal. So I want to make sure that the most important thing for you guys and girls to remember from this session is the very first thing I show you. And it might be slightly advanced. I don't really think it is, but I'm going to show you something really cool. In ONRT, we have something called language projections. So as most of you heard, you can program Windows Store applications in different languages. That's pretty cool. I really, really like that, because that means we're opening up this platform to more developers to join in, even those that aren't .NET developers. And then, you know, once they're in, we'll shut the door and they'll never get out and we'll convert them. But they don't know about that, and that's the cool thing. So with the language projections, you might sometimes think that, what if I want to create my own component? I want to be able to call it from JavaScript or C# or C++ or whatever. How do I go about doing that? And I just want to show you that quickly, how you do that, just in a couple of minutes, just to show you it can be done in a couple of minutes. Now, whatever I show today, I do not expect anybody to memorize this. As a matter of fact, I really hope you don't, because this is just demonstration code. I just want you to know what the possibilities are, kind of how you go about it, and hopefully also have a good time and help me hand out some candy for JavaScript and C#. And I'm going to explain the whole candy thing afterwards. Right. So I've done a little bit of pre-cooking, as the chefs do. And I'm just going to show it here. So I'm going to drag over some code. Basically, what we have here are, you just create a solution, as always. And now I'm going to demonstrate with C# and JavaScript. So I have two projects, one in XAML and C#, and one in JavaScript and HTML. So the views only has a button that you click on. That's it. Now, I want to work with the camera component, which is really cool. And what I want to do is I want to create a WinRT component that does some image editing for me. So basically what you just do, and I'm not going to do it now because, you know, it takes a little bit of time to load up a new project. You add a new project and then you just make sure that you add a Windows runtime component. Once you've added it in, you need to add a reference to that one from the projects that will be using it. And then here it is. Please notice it's got to be sealed, so it's got to be a sealed class. And you can use whatever you can access from it. So anything that you're used to using, such as tasks and asynchronous methods, you can use them. But the catch is, if you want to create a method that's going to be awaited for in the project, the code in the project that calls it, you can't really use a task. And I'm going to show you how you do it. So first of all, if you wanted to, you could do this. Later in this session, I'm going to get back to why you don't want to do async void. So this is, I'll add a comment straight away. Not really a good idea. I'm also demonstrating, I am not a fast typer. I type with mainly one hand because I had surgery in my right hand. Therefore, I will be drag-dropping a lot of code. So you can do this. But what we will do instead, first of all, we'll just create the image editing method. So this one is returning a task. I'm not going to go through actually what the editing of the image is. And then you are going to create the method we will be calling. So this is this one up here. So if you want to have something that is awaitable, you use an IA sync operation, you use that interface, and you create a, you have a task and you run it, and then you wrap it as an asynchronous operation, and that's all you need to do. Now to call it, and I'll show you how it's done in JavaScript, it's the very last sentence here at the end. Now I just made it return a string, which is really doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but this is how you do it. It's just simple as that. And in JavaScript it's the same thing. I'm going to show that really fast here. Let me know if the pace is too fast. So here you have the method. So just notice that it will lowercase the first letter in the method name for you, so it will be easier to find. But it's just as easy as that, and there you have it, and you can use it. Now I have attached a device which you might saw in the beginning of the presentation. The device is actually registered as a camera, so I can't run this exact function now. As you see, I'm using the camera capture UI. The camera capture UI is pretty nice. What it does, it just brings up a UI that you haven't made and allows you to take photos or record a video. It's a pretty nice feature to add in an application. But what we will doing today is we're going to create our own UI and work with the media capture instead and do some really cool stuff. So that was it. Easy as that. So hopefully that bit will stick, and I'm fine with you forgetting this bit here. I got pink hair, so I'm easy to remember, I've heard. So I'm going to introduce myself. And the thing is, like, most of you have already read the slide before it even comes up, so because people read faster than I speak, so I try not to add too much stuff on the slides. Anyways, I'm a technical evangelist at Telerik. I work with Windows Store applications because I really, really like them, and also Windows Phone 8, which I also really, really like. And there's my Windows Phone 8. Woo, it's white, and I love it. So I also work as a software developer at a company called .NET Mentor in Sweden. For people getting confused, yes, I have two jobs because I don't have kids, so then I can. I got a bunch of titles. The only one I'm going to point out is the Meet. I'm very happy to meet fellow Meet members here. Meet stands for Microsoft Extended Experts Team. It used to be called MET in Sweden, then they added Extended to extend it to include me. I'm just kidding. It is called Meet, but I am not an expert. And the reason why I'm saying that is that a year and a half ago, I was working as a licensed clinical dietitian and personal trainer. I had my own clinic and a school. I was teaching students to become nutritionists. And I switched completely over to programming, and it's been really fun. I had a really good ride. I'm going to keep it going. So I've completely switched. So if you sometimes read something about me in regards to nutrition, it's because I used to work with that before. My accent is from a bunch of places. Romania, Norway, Denmark, Australia, Sweden. I love to travel. And today I will be talking about traveling, and I'm going to talk a lot about airports. Because the thing is, I always wanted to go to Tokyo, because it's so different, it's so unique, and it would be so cool to go there. When I was living in Australia, and I was going to visit my parents' home in Norway, I would have to stop somewhere in between, because it's a really, really long trip, like 36 hours it took once. So I decided to go to Tokyo. And that was actually my first meeting with Metro. At the time, it was 6 years ago, first time I was there. I didn't know I would become a programmer, so I didn't quite know what Metro was. But I did notice the whole Metro thing. And yes, I am using the, quote, forbidden word, Metro. But I'm using it to illustrate something now, and I know it's called Modern UI, so just bear over with me. The first thing I noticed when I came to the airport is like it was slightly cold. I expected it to be warmer. It was freezing. There was like this misty smell in the air and kind of like seaweed smell. And the whole airport kind of smelled like a big giant sushi. And the women there were beautiful, like porcelain skin, super elegant. The men, handsome, dressed up, looking nice. Everybody was in a rush, running back and forward. Nobody spoke English. And all the signs were like in like really weird look. Regex, hey, there we got it. So it was hard finding my way around. I thought it would be. But actually it wasn't, because I recognized a lot of signs I've seen before, as the like the arrival and departure sign and so on. Traveling all over the world, you will notice that some signs, you see them again and again and again. And it makes you so, so efficient, because you'll be scanning through a room and you see so many things, and then you see this one thing you recognize and you know exactly where to go. And that is the whole thing with Metro. It's about enabling users to be more comfortable with using our applications, so they know exactly where to go fast. Now imagine this. Imagine every airport decided to be like really creative, and they all wanted to do it their own way. They're going to use their own signs, they're going to use their own way of arranging the airport, everything completely different. Now how many would actually enjoy that? Some people would go like, oh, I really love this airport because it's so cool, but my grandmother would probably stop traveling. She only speaks Romanian and Hungarian. And for her, these little small signs are so important to find her way. So it was my first meeting with Metro, and today I will show you how to create an application, a Windows Store application, in XAML and C# and JavaScript and HTML. And this is the application we will be making. It's called Me Today Tomorrow. It's something I wish I had when I was traveling. It's a kind of a travel diary, and you record a video entry and you go like, today I did this, and you record it and you laugh and delete it later. So we're going to have a gallery, going to do some recording. The live tile reminders we won't have time for, because I decided to add in something else instead. We're going to share and export and a bunch of other stuff. These are the bits and pieces we're going to go through. The reason why I'm showing this slide, I usually don't do it, but I want this time, I want you guys to know, and girls, is that there's going to be a little bit of design in the beginning, but there was going to be a whole lot of other stuff too. So just so you know, it just seems natural to start with the design and explain how it affects how we have to code and what the differences will be between those two type of applications. So just so you know, and the live tiles we won't have time for. There's something else I've added in there, it's not there. Now, the candy! I love candy! So, even though I'm a dietitian, I love candy. So, we're gonna vote. I'm gonna do the exact same session in Netherlands. Somebody said if I say Holland one more time, they'll ban me from the country. So, Netherlands. Okay, so we're going to vote here. For each feature I show, I wanna have a clap, and we're going to see which one you think is the better implementation. And if I have some bad code, you of course ignore that. Clapping is you have two hands, you smack them together. You can smack something else. If you smack the person next to you, make sure you ask them first. Okay? So the candy, so we're going to go like, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy. So we're going to vote for each feature. I was talking about finding your way in an airport. And what's really fascinating with airports is how well designed they are. And there's much smarter design than most of you. We don't really notice these kind of things. And that's the whole smart thing about it. It's kind of like a modern UI application. It seems so easy and simple on the surface, but there's a lot of thinking behind it. When you navigate in an airport, they make sure they section off areas using space instead of using walls, because that would be really annoying if you had to open a door each time you had to go somewhere. So they section it off using sometimes walls, but most of the time they use space to group things naturally together. And that is something we do in Windows Store applications as well. Now, the grid system here, those of you who've done a Windows Store applications probably seen it before, and I think a lot of people have seen this example quite a few times. Now I've just modified the one they have there so it will fit on one slide, and this is what they recommend for the natural silhouette, and I like the word silhouette. Now this is going to affect how the application should be coded for as well, and I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes. So the margins are strongly recommended that you follow, and the question is, how are you going to go about doing that? Because at the same time, you want to make sure you cater for the different resolution and aspect ratios as well. Anybody here done Android phone apps? I feel sorry for you. No, I'm just kidding. It's fun working with the different... Yeah. So... I'm going to show that now. We're going to discuss it a little bit. I'm just going to... And the slideshow. Not to disappoint you, but I've already have the project in place. I tried to see how much I would actually manage to squeeze in an hour if I was actually to code. And it's just, we're not going to fit in all the really, really cool stuff. And we're just basically just going to have time for some small stuff that wouldn't be fun. So I've pre-prepared quite a bit here. So just we have time for what we really want to see. How many here have worked with XAML technologies? Yeah. Much larger portion. And how many here have done a web app development? Yeah, good. What does the rest do? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're gonna just have a look at the main page. I can actually just run the application first and show it how it looks like. So this is the application you've seen. I've been testing it a couple of times, and you see the pictures there. So basically, here I can't add the preview here because I have hooked up a device that's read as a camera. I was unaware of that. I didn't thought it would register as a camera. In the background, it actually says "me today" in Japanese, if Google Translate is correct. So this is the application, and we're gonna work with settings, and we're also gonna work with roaming data, and we're also gonna work with share. So in XAML technology, it's quite common that you use a grid as a basic layout for the application because it allows you to avoid using fixed sizes. When it comes to JavaScript and HTML, you can do the exact same thing by using the vendor-specific, the grid element. And it's done the same way, although it is defined in a CSS file. And I'm going to show that to you here. So here is the main layout, and we're going to have a look at the CSS here. So you can see here how it's defined up. First of all, you define up a grid, and you set how many columns and rows you want to have. You can use fractions, you can use fixed sizes, and so on, everything that you expect to be there. You can use grid span, and so on. There are quite a few things. I'm not going to go through all of them. And then you just set it to the parent element itself, and then the children element will be in the rows and the columns as you choose to have them. So it's very simple. It was my first question when I did an application with HTML and JavaScript. It's like, okay, how do I go about doing that? There is a template with a fixed size application. That's something that you maybe want to use for games, but since you have so many you have to support, you don't want to make that a habit, really. So when you're working with the design time data and you want to check out how the application looks like, you can use this window here. The easiest way to get it up is just by starting typing in the quick launch, and it'll come up at the top. So here you can actually change the different modes, if it's filled, snapped mode, and you can change the resolution of the design time. So you can have a look here, so you don't always have to run the application before you actually try it. And you can do the exact same thing in Blend. So it's just a good thing to know. You have the grid here, which is not as easy to see. The tiny grid, you can use that to make sure it's laid out nice and according to the guidelines, or according to your own guidelines if you're going to be really naughty. And I try my best, but I got to admit, it's kind of hard. I am not much of a designer, which might be really obvious with my beautiful design up there. That's actually the best I could do. The application itself took a couple of days to make. So that was all I'm going to say about the grid. I'm not going to talk more about that. I'm going to try to stay very short on design. There have been a lot of people talking about design and do excellent sessions about that. So I'm going to leave that to the pros. Now, this is where I landed when I came to Narita Airport, Terminal 1, and I had to move over to Terminal 2. And actually, it's a massive airport. Has anybody been there? A couple, yeah. It's big. Now, I come from a little town in Norway called Stavanger, and it's actually the Norway's third largest city, and there's like 100,000 people there. The airport is tiny, it's flat. Arrivals and departures are pretty much from the same room. So they don't have the same navigation system at that airport as they have at Narita Airport. So you could compare those two airports kind of like this. You have a flat system, which is good to use when you have to see more things at the same time. It doesn't make sense to section it off for example, with different terminals. Now, if you have a big airport, you want to section it off and let the user dive into details and kind of guide them to the right place. So these are the two main systems, and it's very important to think about navigation systems early on in the project and not later on. You got to start thinking about it, because that's kind of going to decide a little bit how you go about the code in the view models. So I'm going to show you just how you a little bit more about navigating in the Windows Store applications. I'm going to start off with XAML. I'm probably always going to start off with XAML and show you how it's done. So, pardon my naming. You have the frame class. The frame class will have some very basic navigation methods you can use, and you will have such as go back or forward. You have a couple of booleans to see if it can go back and go forward, and you also have the navigation methods, and you can also pass objects if you want to, and you also have a caching. Now, you'll get very far with that, and if you were to open one of the standard templates, I think they've kind of added it to it. They have a base class that is nasty, nasty big, and it's got everything implemented into it. It's called a layout aware page, and you can have a look at it. It's in the one of the basic templates. Now, in regards to JavaScript, you have this helper class you can have. When you open up a new project, and I'm not going to do the whole thing, here are the different project templates and so on. You can figure out how that's done. You have the helper class, which is the navigator class, JavaScript file. I've got to stop saying class. And this is really good to use. I would really recommend that you start off with that instead of trying to implement your own navigation system. Now, if you have a really awesome idea how to do that, okay. But if you're just getting started, it's probably a really good place to start. I'm not going to go through this one and explain what it does everywhere here, but I'm going to show the implementation of it itself. So let's go here. So first of all, you might see Data Wind Control. Data Wind Control, pretty much, it makes a development host-specific WinJS control. So that's how you use the WinJS controls, by the way. You have got to have this method, WinJS UI process all function, to make sure that you process the whole document and you activate all these controls. So if you've added a control and you haven't added that, you won't see any magic happening. So just be aware of that. You also have the Data Win options. This is where you set options. In the Navigator.js file, you could see that what that home was set to that option. When you do the navigation itself, and I can show you here. When you do the navigation, you got to make sure it doesn't do what it usually does when you navigate, for example, to a link, is that it opens a new page. So what you want to do, this is like single page navigation. So you have a basic shell or basic frame, and you inject pages into that control. And what you want to make sure is that you don't open a new one, because then you're going to miss the whole basic layout around it. So you've got to prevent the default. After you prevented the default, you can navigate to that page. So there's it's not much of a difference from C# and JavaScript, but there is some difference. So we're going to vote for those two first features I showed you. Implementing the basic layout in XAML or JavaScript or HTML and Java. I hate these words, there's so many, I'm mixing them up. Okay, who votes for basic layout in C#? Clap. Okay, I was like lukewarm. And what about JavaScript? Ooh. And some people just sit on the fence. Okay, so we'll have C#, JavaScript will be here. So, ooh, piece of candy for C#. I want to compare to the Netherlands, not Holland, if they agree. So, when it comes to navigation, is navigation do by what I've shown? Does it seem easier to do navigation in C#? And in JavaScript? Ooh, piece of candy. Of course, we have no particularly interest in one language, you know, being at this event. So this is completely fair. This is a democracy, really, it is. All right, moving on. I'm not going to even open this slide. So I'm traveling with the hand luggage today. for the whole week, I'll be living off this, and half of it's like technical stuff. I was waiting an applause here. Okay? It is my first time traveling with hand luggage, so I had to be really smart about it. And what us girls do is, and a lot of guys too, is that you make sure you have different bits and pieces of the outfit that can be nicely combined together, and you'll have like shirts that you can easily just wash by hand if you need to, and so on. So you want to have reusable coat because it allows you to have good style. Otherwise, a big, large bottle of perfume will cover most smells, but is not recommended in public events. Do not do that. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, and I'm gonna show you a couple of things here. So you might have noticed a little bit earlier when I showed you here, I'm implementing the grid view control. So I know I've been really naughty. I've added the data template inside it. Usually you want to put it somewhere else so you can reuse it, but this is just to keep everything together during the demonstration. So when you define a data template, you basically just define how the items is going to be added in that control, how they're going to look like, how they're going to be presented. And you do it the exact same way in HTML. And I'm going to show that to you. So here is, and I talked about data win control, you can see it here, and you have the options set here, and it's displayed as a grid. And here is the item template itself and how it looks like. So I've added a couple of symbols, and basically you might want to break this out a little bit, but this is how it looks like. So it pretty much identically. Personally, I found it was actually easier to work with HTML and CSS and JavaScript when I did this. And as you can see there, you also have a couple of bindings. For me, I found that the bindings work much better and more natural in XAML and C#, but then again, I'm also very used to using Knockout when I do web app development, so I was having a hard time with the halfway implementation of bindings in JavaScript, and I'll show you one thing. I haven't added this here. I'm going to show it to you there. Okay, I'm going to show it later, because something I decided now to show you. Or I can show you this one here. So you actually, if you use WinJS, you have to set that one bit there to true. And as I've understood it, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a little bit of a hack. Because what was happening with the bindings, that they were setting automatically IDs, which would lead to memory leaks. So you would have to set that to true, otherwise you might have a little bit of a performance issue with your application. And if you read the documentation for that, it doesn't really explain it very well what it does, and you can't really understand whether it should be set to true or not. But when you add that, it should always be set to true, so just be aware of that. So, time for a piece of candy again. We're just doing bits and pieces here because we got a lot of stuff to cover. How many would say it's easier to work with styles in CSS? And in XAML? For me, it seemed like there was more of a clap for CSS. And I actually agree. So, ooh, piece of candy for that. I agree. See, I'm just ignoring the claps, and I just put the candy wherever I want it to be. It's my session, you really know. I'll be nice. Awesome. Here comes the best bit, the one I like to talk most about. And I don't know even why I'm holding this, because I'm not using it. So, asynchronous programming. You have to do asynchronous programming in Windows Store applications. Imagine at the airport. When you have to do something, I don't know, maybe most people are better at planning. I was running late for my own session today because I'm horrible at planning that kind of thing, so I'm a time optimist. And what I do at the airport, I'll have my phone, I'll be checking my email, because once you get on a plane, you can't have your phone on. And I'm checking the times to see that if the plane is boarding or not. I'm also making sure I'm not crashing into people. I'm desperately looking for the ladies' room as well. So I'm doing a lot of stuff at the same time. And if I wasn't to do that, if I would go like, stop, check my phone, stop, check the signs, stop, check for toilets, it would just take forever before I ever got there. So I have to be asynchronous. And the same thing goes for in the store applications. We don't want to make people wait. Nobody likes waiting. Everybody expects things to be snappy. So it has to happen straight away. And I'm going to show how we make that work. And I'm going to show that by using the camera, the media capture object. And the reason I do that, because you get a lot of good examples with that. And there's a difference between working asynchronously in the C# and JavaScript and HTML. Sorry. There's a difference between C# and JavaScript there. And that's quite obvious. So we're going to have a look at the recording. So the first thing we do is we first of all, at the bottom here, we've just newed up a new media capture. I use _ for my private members. No M involved, but that's how my naming convention has been, just so you know. So as you see, I've had a little comment there that you want to avoid. Thank you for that. Avoid using void when you have asynchronous methods. The thing is that async void, okay, I'm going to explain async and await before I say that. Async doesn't do anything other than mark the method that there will be some waiting for something to happen in the method itself, and that waiting is going to be an asynchronous method. That's what it tells us. Await pretty much rewrites the method, and it's so smart, it'll figure out itself how to do that. And if it's not already completed, it will return when it is completed. So you use async and await, and it'll take you really far, really. But at some point, you probably might need to tweak it a little bit. The problem with using async void, avoid now, is that it's really there just for you being used with UI event handlers, because it's a kind of a fire and forget. So you send it off to do some work, but you're not waiting for its return. And the problem is going to be when you're going to handle exceptions. Now, I don't have any error handling in my code, because it'll kind of like eat up the whole screen space. But if you're not returning a task, and that's where you'll have your exceptions, then you're going to have a problem when you return void. So error handling is going to be a little bit harder. So it's really, really not recommended that you don't return anything from them. But since we are working in handlers here, it is void. So the first thing I've newed up, the media capture, and then you initialize it. You can chuck in a bunch of settings if you want to as well. You can do quite a few things. You can access a lot of the things of the camera if you want to. I haven't done that, I just kept it very simple. I've set the media element, I think it's actually the media capture element. I've set its source. Yep, a capture element. So I've set its core source. Now I've been really naughty. I haven't used MVVM, because my experience has been this when I do talks that not many people are familiar with it, and it just really creates those that are not familiar with it, they'll drop completely off. They'll stop listening to the session midway if I use only MVVM. So I haven't used it here. So I'm using beautiful code behind. So you set the source and then you just start it, and you see start preview async. The naming convention is always to use async, and it goes for JavaScript and C# as well. And you can pretty much assume that when something is asynchronous, that it will return something, because it is supposed to return something. But it's not always, but most of the time. So then you start recording. When you take a photo, you do that straight away, and you got to give it a file where the photo is going to be stored. Now when you start recording, you start recording, and then you got to stop recording as well, which you see the bit here. And then I'm accessing the photo itself, and I'm displaying it on screen. So that's how you do it. Now I'm going to show you how you do that in JavaScript. So it looks very similar. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole point with language projections. It should be fairly simple to go from one side to the other if you want to. But there are going to be some differences. And the first difference you might see here is that there are no async awaits, but you have then. This is working with promises. So you're returning a promise object. And you use then when you continue. And it's very natural when you think you're talking. I was saying, I would check my phone. Now, if I was going to have to wait, I can't do something until I've checked my phone. I need to find something on my phone, and then I need to communicate that to a person. I check my phone, then I explain something to a person, and once I'm done, we go do that. So, then, done. Now, if you've used done, you're done. You cannot do any then afterwards, because you're done. So, it seems more natural when you're speaking, compared to the wait. It's more like, wait, hold it, now continue. Wait, hold it, now continue. So it's kind of how I think of, when it comes to just language, how you talk, it seems more natural with them. If you want to, you can nest promises, but it's not recommended that you do, because error handling is going to be a pain in the buttocks. Because I can't say the other word. So you set again, you started the recording, and I find that personally, my opinion is, and I probably can say that here, is that JavaScript is very verbose by nature, so there's a lot to read, but it does basically the same thing, and I could clean this up a little bit as well, and then you stop it, and it's identically except from the promises. So we're basically going to vote on async and await and the promises here. So who thinks the asynchronous implementation in C# is better than in JavaScript? And who thinks it's better in JavaScript? Cool. Ooh, piece of candy. Awesome. I'm actually doing fine with time. I was worried I would be talking way too fast. Right. We're going to talk a little bit about storage. That always seems to be a problem of mine because I have a lot of clothes. I have a lot of them, and storage is a very interesting topic, and it's also something you got to think about from the beginning of. A lot of people, I remember when the Windows Store applications first came out, and people were very annoyed that the recommendation was that you use services and that you don't have the data locally, and people were like, oh, that's outrageous, why are we doing that, it doesn't make any sense. And the first thing people started doing is making sure that you can use SQLite in a Windows Store application, and people were making wrappers and so on. And now I think more people kind of understand why, and it's important that we know the different options that we have. So you have the local storage, which can be you create files and folders and you can serialize stuff down if you want to. And you also can work with services. You probably always want to have a combination of those two anyway, because you gotta save data also temporarily, which you can. You can save settings, it's very easy to do, and you can also roam data. Now, roaming data means that if you have the application installed on several devices, you will be able to access the same data on those devices, which is very nice. So it's good to think about that. And I think you already saw a little bit of storage, and I'm gonna point it out here a little bit. So actually, I'm gonna show it. I added something last minute. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I just had to. And it still compiles. So, now there's a lot of stuff. I want you to notice this bit here first and do your very best to ignore the rest. This is accessing the local data of the application. It's very simple to work with, but you have to have a good read at the documentation. And when it comes to working with streams, it's not probably as it used to, and you're going to get confused with your reads and writes when you try to convert streams. I don't have so many examples on that here, but I just wanted to point that out. What you see here is that I'm actually using advanced query syntax. Has anybody used that here before? Okay, cool. Free people. Okay. So advanced query syntax is something you can use if you need to go beyond just getting the basic, beyond just the file type and some properties of a file. Now, if you're going to look through a whole bunch of files, and there's a lot of things you have to go through, and you just need something very specific, it can be very nice to use advanced query syntax. This is something that has always existed, and I just want to point out it's not WinRT specific, but it's very well implemented in WinRT, and we should not forget to use it where it is appropriate. I'm not sure this is the best example, because this is a very small application, but I wanted to show you how it is used and how easy it is to use it, and also show the same in JavaScript. So first of all, you just define a list of the different filters you want to use, and we're going to get the JPEGs, and then you set the query options, and you have some common file queries you can choose between, and I just said order by name, the name is actually a date, and then you just chuck in the file type filter as well. And now I'm also doing something called the thumbnail prefetch. So you start prefetching the thumbnails, which will speed it up a little bit. I did some comparisons using the stopwatch. I know the stopwatch isn't like 100% accurate, but I did some comparison, and it seems to have the time when you have like 50 photos. So I read only list is new in C# 5. If you haven't seen it before, it's basically something we've all done manually before, so it just removed some extra work for us. So what you can do afterwards is you create file query with options, and then you just get the files asynchronously. Once you get the files, you can get the thumbnail asynchronously, and then you just chuck in some options there as well, and that's it. Now, there's a lot of cool ways, cool searches you can do. This is just the beginning, and I'm going to show you how that looks in JavaScript. I'm smiling because it's big and ugly, and okay. So honestly, I'm not, as we say on Facebook, it's complicated with me and JavaScript, because I'm not really a big fan of him or her, but after doing this session a couple of times, I started seeing things I really like about it, and I'm surprised because I wouldn't think I would start liking it, but this method is not one of them. Now, okay, of course, this can be broken out a little bit, but I want to keep it together so you all can like have it a massive, beautiful, in-your-face type of method. So, basically, I'm doing the same thing as I was doing in JavaScript, but I'm using the promises here. And I actually ended up having to do a little bit of nesting, but I actually couldn't really see another way to go about it. JavaScript is not my strongest language. That would be C# and XAML. So, accessing local storage in JavaScript is done the exact same way as in C#, you only want to make sure that a lot of the methods you're going to use are going to be asynchronous, so you have to use the promises. So get comfortable with them. What do you think looks better or works nicer? C#? JavaScript? Yeah, good effort! Woo! That was good! Yeah, stand up for yourself! Yeah! Representing. Yes, awesome. It's not so we got one piece of candy. That was for the CSS. Right, we're gonna talk about share. Sharing is caring. We are in a world of liking and sharing and so on. If I see another sign like on Facebook, I'm gonna strangle that person. Sometimes I just wanna take the share button to the backyard and shoot it, but I can't. The thing about sharing is it's a very easy way to communicate with people that doesn't require a lot of effort. And that will be my I know you're still alive kind of thing I do on Sundays. That's when I open up Facebook. I'll scroll through the home history thing. I'll just randomly click like on things and oh, awesome. And just a couple of happy birthdays. And I've done my social obligations for the week. And it works really fine. It simplifies things for me. Now I just need to like hire like a poor student to do that instead. So you wanna allow the users to share. It's a very nice feature to have, and it will also increase the likelihood of actually getting more of your applications sold. Now, you know about the revenue model for Windows Store applications? How many here, hands up, how many here know the revenue model for Windows Store apps? A couple. It's pretty good. It's pretty good compared to the rest. You get to keep 70% after $25,000. You get to keep 80%. You can use other vendors to have in-app advertisement. It's not going to take their cut. You can have transactions using your own services, and you get to keep all of it. And you can, of course, sideload if you want to. Prices start at $1.50 and increases. So people are willing to pay more for them. That was like a really short intro. So you wanna let users share. Share is the little thingy that comes here on the right-hand side. Now I don't have anything to share from SharePoint. Oof, sorry. I don't know. That was like a demon that came over me there. So you can share stuff. And the thing is, we share. You can be a share target or a share source or be both. We're going to do the share source. When you are a share source, you don't know who's on the receiving end. You don't know who's going to be willing to take your stuff. Because what you do is you just create a package with what you want to share. And it can be text, HTML, an image, whatever you want. You can define your own packages. And then whatever application signed up that, hey, I wanna get stuff. And if it's something that fits with what you're sending, they'll gladly receive it. I'm just going to show here. I think the app is still up and running. So here, when we're sharing text, you can have a couple of apps you have had here you can share with. And I'm not connected to the internet right now, so I can't actually show you it working, but it does work. Sharing itself is dead easy to implement. And I want to show it. Please, please, please don't skip using the charms. It's pretty cool to use. Now, the name of the charms itself comes from, you know, the bracelet thingies kiddies have when they were young, or me, I still have them. And you have, like, things that are, like, very important for you, like love and tech stuff and candy. And so that's the whole idea behind the charms, things that are important and common. So we're going to have a look at the share. So it's a lot of code here. I gotta apologize for that. First of all, you wanna hook up a handler, and then this is the bit here you need. Is it hard to read with the blue? No, it's fine. So you see now you can, if you see there's set text, and I have a method called set quote. I'm gonna show you roaming data. I'm gonna show you how that works. But this is basically how you implement share. It's that easy to implement. Of course, you can of course share different types of objects. You don't have to share just text, just one or the other. You can do several. I just want to show you the very minimum, like how you do an implementation. And you also want to make sure that you share something that is worth sharing. So I'm going to show you how that's done in JavaScript as well. And there we go. Oh, sorry. Those are the settings. That was the wrong one. So that's not the one. There we go. And here the method is actually inside there. So it's just as simple. Now let's have a little vote for the easiest share implementation. This is this bit here. Okay, who votes for C#? And JavaScript? Ooh, piece of candy. I'm gonna get it a pink one instead. There we go. So yeah, again, the claps are kind of like dying off, like, oh, how many are we going to do? Just a couple more. So hold on. Okay, while we're here, I'm going to start showing you about settings. I'm going to show you settings. And the image I had for that was working with settings was this one here. Actually, this happened to me when I came here. I don't like look on a map where I'm supposed to go. I'll go to the country, and then once I land, I'll just assume I'll find my way. And whatever I do, I always look for the information place, because I know they're always going to be able to help me. And that's kind of like settings works. In Windows 8 settings for an application, it's always supposed to be on the right-hand side. You see it there. It's always going to be there. And it's again about letting users have that expectation that they know where things are so they can find their way. It gives them confidence and therefore also increases the likelihood of them using something and also being less annoyed. So settings, you always want to have it there. You cannot change the look and feel of this bit here. The only thing you can do is add the commands you see there. Now permissions, I'm going to bring up the app and show you instead. Now permissions is always going to be there. Those are the permissions that the application has. Now this one has a couple of permissions because it's using the camera and so on. And then you can add the commands yourself. You want to limit that to like a maximum maybe 2-3 words. You don't want to have a long sentence. It's going to be like a command, so think about it as one as well. Once you click on it, it should expand a settings pane. Now you can edit this a little bit, but the color at the top has to be the same one as your application, and it has to, you have to have the icon on the right hand side. You have to have an arrow that points back to the settings pane, and once you click on it, it should take you back to the narrow settings thing. And also there should be no buttons to confirm actions on it, and you also want to make sure that you either use a wide or a narrow settings pane. I think the wide one is like 600 something and the narrow one is 300 something. So those are the you can edit it, but it should look quite similar on all applications. And I think that's actually a very, very good idea. On for example, now when I have an iPad, we go into settings, it always looks the same. And I kind of like it when applications follows that, because settings are very important. I want to be able to access them easily and know where they are. So in settings, you want to have things that make sense to have there. Now, having the text of what you're going to share is probably not an extremely good example, but I just pulled something out. So this is just a text that pretty much it's being roamed, and you just set a share text. Let's have a look at the implementation of the settings pane. Now, in C#, this is going to require a little bit of measurements from our side because of the different resolutions and so on. You got to measure the screen and you got to make sure that it fits really nicely. So that's going to give you a little bit more boilerplate code. You probably will abstract this away anyway and not have it directly there, but this is just to make sure that you know that you have to do these things. So you register the settings pane, and you get the one for the current view, and then when it is requested, you make sure you fill out the appropriate properties. So what you do here is you add a new settings command, and those are the text bits we saw, and you set an ID, and then you set the string, and then you register a handler for it, and in the handler, you might want to use a pop-up. That's probably the best idea because it's likely dismissible, which means that if you click outside of it, it'll collapse. And that's what we want it to do. And I'm going to show you the settings pane itself and explain a little bit more there. So here we're just doing a bunch of measurements. A lot of examples online about this, so don't try to memorize. What you want to make sure also is that the settings pane pops out on the right side of the screen. So if they have the charms bar on the right side, it'll get there. And if it's the left, then there. I've never seen anybody have the charms bar on the left-hand side. I didn't even know that was possible. But apparently that's what documentation says. So let's have a look at the share settings itself. This is just the XAML. This is how it looks. And if we look at the code, here is the go back button. So basically what it does, it makes sure that it shows the small default settings pane when you click back, which you have to have that there. And here you can also see working with roaming settings, but I'm going to show that afterwards, because first I need to show the settings implementation in JavaScript. We're going to start off by just having a look at the markup. Oh, that's not it. There we go. Here's the markup. So what's really nice here is they have handled a lot of the plate coat for us very nicely. So you don't have to do all the measurements. You just set it to wide or narrow, basically, and that's all you need to do. What you really, really want to make sure here is that this bit here, the settings command ID. Now, I've seen quite a few examples online where they forget to set it. And if you do a nice copy and paste, you'll be sitting there staring at a there's no settings pane coming when you're clicking on it, and you wonder why. There's no error, no nothing. It's JavaScript after all. So there's nothing there, and you don't know why it's not working. So you want to make sure that you actually set the ID, and that the ID you've set there is the same one that you've set here. So make sure it matches. Now take a mental note of that one. And this is actually all you need to do to implement it. So the markup, and I did like a side-by-side comparison on my blog post, and the difference is XAML and C# here, and then JavaScript and HTML here. And that was odd. I did not expect that. So let's have a vote here. Do we think the implementation in JavaScript and HTML is better? And what about XAML and C#? I completely agree. Ooh, piece of candy. I have no idea where I have that ooh, piece of candy from. So, roaming settings. Must be something on YouTube. Must be like a cat video or something. When you use roaming settings, it's pretty so easy that you just get roaming settings and it's just key value pairs. You can also have containers if you want to. And it's just a one-liner, really. So it's dead easy to implement. That's how you go about doing there. And I'm just going to quickly show it in... Did I have it here? No, sorry, I'm in the wrong file here. So we're going to have a look at the settings here. So you just get the application data current roaming settings, and you get the value for the share text, and then you just set the text to it. That's very, very easy to do. And implementation is very similar in both of them, but we're still going to do a vote on this one. So who thinks it looks easier in C#? And who thinks it looks easier in JavaScript? Okay, ooh, piece of candy. There we go. Now, awesome. So there are quite a few more things you can do in Windows Store applications, really. These are just some basic stuff, and I just want to show you some of the things that differ and quite a few things that are the same. How many here thought that they were more similar than they thought it would be? Just give me a raise of hands this time. Okay, just a few. Who many things it looks like, completely different? Nobody. Is it because, like, we have pride and we are developers and we don't want to admit to that yet? Now, I made sure I left some time at the end because I want to show you something really cool. I had a backup plan. Now, in case people weren't wowed and everybody here knew all this already, I wanted to have something really cool to show so people would remember that little... I want to make sure I have something cool to show. And you might have seen it earlier. And it was... See if I can read it now. I need to just close down this one first and restart it. Now, so I have this little thing here. It's called a leap motion. How many here have heard about them? Ooh, quite a few. From me? No, because I've been talking a lot about them today. How many here has a leap motion? Ah, couple. Ooh, waiting for it. They shipped to Europe for not so long ago, so if it wasn't too long ago, it should come soon. Or you can just snag them on the forum. I did that, and it worked wonders. It actually does work. So I'm just going to show it now. I actually haven't had time to code anything for it yet, because I just got it a couple of days ago. So I was demonstrating it earlier on. So it's having a little... I haven't calibrated for this screen here. and the light is, it says the lightning isn't the best. What it does, it's a motion tracking, so it actually tracks me moving the fingers, and it actually registers them, so it can register all five fingers up to 10 points. And let's see if I can get... Ooh, there we go. Now this is a fish demo, so they're kind of chasing the light, and then when the light becomes too much, they get scared and they fly away. Now this is the really cool thing, and this gets me really excited. It's still in beta, I know. It's still in beta, and it's not perfect, but all the things we can do with it, it's pretty darn cool. Now, I know we also have Kinect, and I've done some really cool stuff with Kinect, and for me, this really is the future, and it's just a matter of time. So we started off by complaining about a mouse being like the worst idea ever because it's gonna, you know, decrease productivity. It makes no sense staring at the screen than having your hand, you know, well, approximately there. You know, that's gonna slow you down and so on. But what the mouse did is it opened up this world to a whole other bunch of people who weren't comfortable using the keyboard where you have to memorize shortcuts. After the mouse, we needed to open this more. So we started with touch. And with touch, now you see kids, you see elderly people, and I've worked with people with dementia, and they absolutely love tablets. So we're using touch, and suddenly we have more people engaged in this community, and we have more people interacting, more people owning devices and using them. And this is a communication channel we have here. And we are the ones creating the tools. We are the gatekeepers. We are the ones creating the applications that's going to allow them to actually use them. And when we have also stuff like this, we are increasing which people can use and also making people more fascinated about this. I showed this to a bunch of students and they absolutely loved it. So whenever your job gets a little bit boring and you're just getting a little bit tired of it, you have to remember what kind of cool stuff we can do, even if we don't always get to do it. And with Windows Store applications, now you might not have clients that are ordering those type of projects because you do something else, but give it a try and have a play with it, because it's an excellent playground, because a lot of the boilerplate code has been abstracted away for us, so it's easy to get started and to play around. And for me, it's given a lot to me personally and also contributed a little bit more to my passion I have for programming. And small stuff like these kind of devices really, really add something extra to an already really, really cool platform. And that's all I had for today. I'm going to give you almost 10 minutes back. And unless you have some questions, this is it. I don't have a grand finale, I just blah, 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 done. So yeah, thanks for listening to me, and I hope you enjoyed it. I sure did, and nothing broke, so yay. Thank you.